Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is Mark Henry just Bender from Futurama at this point?
His new gimmick.
Hey, bend this. All right.
The beat kicks and I start bending.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show. Smackdown.
It's the 25th of April in the year of our Lord, 2002.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour golf. Whoppa. What golf club makes that noise? Whoppa.
I think that one is a golf club. Wank. There it goes.
Wank!
Oh, landed in a bunker.
Snicked!
Every time he pops his golf clubs out of his hand.
Awooga!
Yeah.
Hi, Tamaya.
Gareth Gates. Unchained Melody. Still number one. Celine Dion. A New Day Has Come. Still number one. Bend It Like Beckham. Still number one. Queen Mum, dead.
Still dead. I thought she might have come back by now like Linda did that time.
The final edition of The Generation Game, presented by Jim Davidson, is broadcast. I had no idea this was still on by O2.
Wow. That had some life in it, didn't it? The Queen Mother.
Her last words was, oh, not him. Blackadder Back and Forth makes its terrestrial TV debut on BBC One. The programme had been scheduled to air on the 31st of March, but of course the Queen Mum died.
That was made by Sky, wasn't it?
It was to coincide with the opening of the Millennium Dome. You had to go to the Millennium Dome to see the special, and everyone waited for it to come on TV instead.
Nice. The most quoted line from Blackadder Back and Forth, do you know what that is?
It's not. That's for the never-ending... Oh, the Kenneth Branagh's never-ending four-hour cut.
It wasn't that one, no.
Who's Kenneth Branagh? I'll tell him you said that. And I don't think he'll be very happy.
It's a good line.
I now get it. I didn't get that as a kid. I understand that now. What is the quoted line from...
Why are you so great?
Because I'm me. Yes, as seen on Twitter whenever there is a... resting press conference.
Yes, so it's a piece of TV history that has inspired some jokeroonies on the social medias during presses. Good, it's good as well. It's very good.
It's okay.
I enjoyed it.
It's a little one-off get together. It's fine. Anyway, we'll move
little
on.
Love letter.
Yes, ITV Digital is officially put up for sale by the admins Adela. I can't pronounce those, but the company must be sold in the next few days to avoid liquidation because owners Carlton and Granada have not put forward any extra money to keep it afloat.
It was a lovely idea to have a TV channel that mainly showcased sort of grassroots and lower division football, but there just wasn't the money or the interest to retain it. Yeah, in an ever-changing world, that is what happened.
Exactly. And it's the big release this week of Crash Bandicoot, The Wrath of Cortex.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's the Xbox release of an 01 game that was already mid to begin. We've already covered it. So it's the Xbox port. The very first release of that game on PS2 was a CD, as opposed to the DVDs that they used for any other game. Oh. So it had... horrible loading times.
I don't know why
they picked a CD for that. That's
cheaper.
That'll be it. Yes. Probably anyway, it's CAC.
But this is this the first Crash Bandicoot game on a platform that isn't the PlayStation?
Yes.
So that's quite iconic in itself.
It's iconically awful. And it went platinum because everyone thought it was Naughty Dog making it. In Emmerdale, fed up of banging their heads against brick walls, oh, don't do that, Katie and Andy decide it's time to take matters into their own hands. The youngsters feel they are forced to make a decision that will affect the rest of their lives. Broaching the idea of going away for the weekend, Letitia uses Kirk as a persuasive tool.
Like a screwdriver.
Yes. Spark, let me be a hand. Suddenly getting cold feet, Kane tries to dissuade Letitia from coming on the trip, but Letitia will not be given the brush off. Who wrote this?
Letitia.
Here's your brush. No, Kane, I won't carry it.
You're not the tool I want.
Kane, come back with my brush.
What? Not you, Kane.
You'll knock my toupee off. That was all that was happening in the wonderful world of reality. But what was happening in the odd world of wrestling? That question can be answered in many places. This is one of them. It's the Cultaholic SmackDown. Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review with Matthew, back from Germany, and Tom, hasn't been to Germany.
Guten Abend, meine Freunde.
Dankeschön.
Bitteschön. How's Germany?
Good.
Yeah. You probably told lots of stories on the Full Fat podcast, which you've heard by now. But I'm glad that you went. I know that it's a funny... Did you not go last year?
No, I didn't, because 2022 was rubbish.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And I was there like, I don't know if it's me or this event, but I'm not feeling this. Mm. Oh, the joys of traveling to do wrestling. And you're there like, nah, it might be past me. No, that was just a rubbish weekend. I lovely return to form from everyone involved.
I do want to join you one of the years.
Martial arts, now that you said that, and I said, Tom's so busy. He doesn't look at those, like, perspective 4 days or whatever you need off. He look at all the money I'm missing out on. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you don't fly out for one bloody show.
But so. I think the weekend that you, what did I do the weekend you were away? I don't even think I was working. Was that when I went to? It wasn't Mother's Day weekend you were away, was it?
It was.
It was Mother's Day weekend you were away.
Well, it was. I sent one to my mum, my stepmom, and I sent one to my auntie just to be nice, just to say, look, I don't think there's an auntie's day, and if there is, I have to get it every year. So I'll send this to you, and she went, thank you very much. And so my auntie got one, and my stepmom got one. My mum didn't.
Oh, no!
Due to there being some sort of postal strike in that area.
Oh, bloody hell.
So I thought that was funny. Oh, I was just like, I'll just not bring up the fact that your sister's got one.
Yeah, don't mention that, whatever you do.
But they were very fine. They were like, oh, yeah, don't worry, go to Germany. Have a good time.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, have a good time.
And of course, my stepmom was like, well, don't worry, you know, I know you had a good time. You'd sort them out. We beat them twice. I went, yes, thank you.
Yeah. There it is.
There's the classic humour.
I surprised my mum on Mother's Day. She didn't expect me home for the Mother's Day weekend. And then I'd orchestrated a thing with my dad. So I'm going to come home and surprise mum on the day before Mother's Day. So we pulled up and then I hid in the boot. And then his mum opened the boot. I was in the boot. A little face, bless her. She was seemingly quite happy to see me. And had a lovely weekend with my mum and my dad and my brothers. It was lovely.
I'm pretty sure, given a good week or so, you and your dad could pull off a bank job.
I think we probably could, you know. My dad said he's not coming on the stag do.
Oh, so he'll be there then?
Which might mean he'll be there. I don't trust him.
Tonight, Steve Austin will not be at Monday Night Raw. Boo! I've banned him from the arena. There's no way he can get in.
I love it if my dad just gatecrashed our stag do anyway. That'd be amazing.
What's that noise? It sounds like Tom's dad playing golf.
You've RSVP'd for the stag, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's fine, just check.
With a bloody chat that won't shut you up.
We have a WhatsApp group chat now for the stag. And it's funny, from what I can gather, it's coming together far easier than the hen do is. Just because we're just like, right, we're going to go here. We're going to drink some drinks. We're going to do this. Yeah. Then we're going to drink some more drinks, eat some food. Yep, cool. When you're free that day. Yep, fine.
Yeah.
Sorted.
Yeah, and I'm going to be worn out. People are like, what are you going to do for holidays? He goes, everyone else is having holidays and I'm there by association. My mates are going to bloody Amsterdam for theirs. On WrestleMania weekend. So it's going to be great. The first WrestleMania I won't remember.
Trying to look after myself in other aspects. I've been doing my running every other day, which has been nice. I've enjoyed that. My brain's a bit tired. I think I might need a little spa for my brain.
You do work 48-hour days, Tom.
It's true, but it's been fine till now. think I've...
famous last words.
Yeah, I think I've reached a point where I might...
haven't crashed my car yet.
I might need a little sit down, maybe.
Bless you. I thought you were going to segue that, as you tend to do, into going like, I feel creatively bankrupt. Anyway, SmackDown 02, am I right?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to have by now a watch-along of Insurrection, but you haven't had it yet because, one, in the timeline, it hasn't actually happened yet, which I thought it was going to happen while you were away, and it didn't, so we didn't have an episode go up. And also, I just didn't have time to do it. So I think that's probably why I'm feeling a bit creatively bankrupt, because I'm doing too many
things. It's not as if you stretch yourself thin. Trying to be creative and entertaining during Insurrection 2002.
It's me and my cat.
The thing that people only remember because it's the last... official WWF pay-per-view, and because of the plane ride there.
Yeah, the two iconic moments from it, which we'll talk about next week. Talk about it all next week. Don't you worry about it. Let's get into SmackDown for this week, shall we, Matthew Gregory?
We shall. After you tell us what's happening in the world of wrestling.
All right, so if you're listening to this for the very first time, henlo. What's going to happen is Matthew Gregory is going to talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown. But before he doth, I will ferment your brain with some seeds of knowledge about what was happening in this week around about April 25th, 2002, which is the date the SmackDown aired. You'll know by now that the WWF Undisputed Champion is Hollywood Hulk Hogan. It is a true Indian summer for Hulkamania in World Wrestling Federation.
I know, look, as tan.
I know, right? and according to the Observer, the decision to put the title on Hogan was unbelievably last minute at Backlash. So the Observer says Vince's plan was to keep the title on Triple H as of the day of the show. At the agents' meeting, there was a lot of discussion back and forth. It was not unanimous, dissenting voices being Stephanie McMahon and Paul Heyman, but the agents' consensus was to put the title on Hogan. The feeling was a second pay-per-view loss in a row by Hogan would kill him. It wouldn't. And he'd be worth nothing going forward. He wouldn't. So the argument was whatever legs Hogan had left, he should drop. The argument could be if he still has a chase, they could hold it off and do the chase. But that's a risk because you don't know when people are going to get bored of the Hulkamania revival. So essentially, the decision was made just a few hours before the show to fully capitalize on this newfound, quite literal Hulkamania and put the belt on Hogan, ending Triple H's big comeback title reign at just scraping a month. Thanks for that, mate. What a company guy you are. It's probably going to be a short but passionate run by Hulk Hogan, but they're going to depend on how the universe reacts to him in the weeks to come. He already has a pay-per-view opponent. Whether he'll get past it is yet to be seen. But Paul Heyman and Stephanie McMahon were the most vocal for people saying that don't put the belt on Hogan. Heyman didn't feel like it was the right time to do it. And of course, Stephanie is married to Triple H and she quite liked him being champion as well. This week, the WWF has filed some interesting new trademarks.
Wait. What's Stephanie doing there? She's been fired. She lost that triple threat match.
Sneaky gal.
It's Paul Heyman and anonymous contributor.
And Incognito Jones over here.
I think that...
Hi, Dad. I mean, Vince.
Are there any women here in the writers' team meeting? No.
Hello, Bob. Figure Four Weekly says that the World Wrestling Federation has filed some rather interesting trademarks this week.
I hope none of them have WWF at the start.
No, they certainly do not. All of them have the term WWE at the start.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
This has something to do, we believe, with the Worldwide Fund for Nature lawsuit that is set to conclude in the coming days. It's not looking good. Now, it had no problem with the Federation referring to itself as either WWFE or WW.
So thanks for those options.
There was a school of thought that they could have called themselves WW. But it looks as if instead they're leaning towards WWE. Brian Alvarez writes, why they end up choosing WWE is beyond me. The initials WWE would have just been stupid. WWFE would have at least had the extremely valuable WWF brand name on it. The only upside I can think of to WWE is that, like WWF, it consists of three letters. That's good counting. Mm. Other than that, anyone who doesn't follow the business closely is going to have absolutely no clue when seeing WWE initials that it has anything to do with the pro wrestling company. In what is even more frightening news, the eight trademarks applied for that they applied for are WWE Education and Entertainment, WWE Toys and Sporting Goods, WWE Clothing, WWE Paper Goods and Printed Matter. These are weird pay-per-views. WWE Electrical and Scientific Apparatus.
All of them.
WWE Housewares and Glass. Cry Me a River. WWE Leather Goods and WWE...
That's Hogan.
WWE Smokers Articles. That's got to be bongs, isn't it? Is that bongs? Is that for Rob Van Dam?
What, articles meaning clothing or articles like...
Articles, I would assume
Booker
articles...
Booker writes about tabs.
It's tabs. It suggests that WWE may be using the new name that it may potentially be getting. It's a foregone conclusion here. To branch out into other markets.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Yes, sir. But we'll talk more about that next week, so we will. Insurrection is this weekend at the Wembley Arena in London. And as Matthew Gregg has said, it will be it's going to be the final pay-per-view under the name World Wrestling Federation. Now, Vince is only going to the UK for the London show, not for the rest of the tour. The lineup is a major improvement from the card that was listed just a few days earlier that didn't include Triple H. The unplanned title switch screws it up the show because Triple H, who was scheduled to defend the title on the show, is now on SmackDown, and this is a Raw crew show. But the lineup without him looks so weak, they just sent him over anyway. So it was going to be Triple H in the main event defending the WWF title against The Undertaker. But obviously he's no longer the champion. So they've just gone, we'll just do it anyway. It's only the UK.
Yeah, they know it's not going to... They don't know it's going to win the belt there anyway, so...
Exactly, Mundman Brav.
Until 2017, anyway, so...
The XWF... And we're not done, sir. We're not done. The XWF tour has been cancelled. The entire Texas tour has been cancelled due to the sponsor, Ring Entertainment of Dallas, pulling out of the business. XWF were promised around 80 grand for the four dates. They got a 40 grand deposit and then they just stopped returning the phone calls. Essentially, they've just gone, we can't afford to run the shows and pay the talent with just 40K. According to Brian Knobbs, he arrived in Texas on the 23rd of April for a meeting with a local promoter, and they gave no indication of cancelling the tour. They said, yeah, it's all fine, you know, Ring Entertainment Dallas will have the money for you the next day. And they didn't. So therefore, they cancelled all four dates.
I can't believe they yanked Knobbs around.
They did yank Knobbs around quite substantially. all the talent showed up in San Marcos to find out that the entire tour was cancelled. They hadn't been officially told that the show had been cancelled. So they get to the venue and go, oh, there's no show tonight. They all got paid, though, so that's nice.
They spell the company's name EX-WF.
With virtually no advertising in any of the markets, the advances were tiny anyway. In one particular show, it only sold 50 tickets. So it was just as well.
And they were lucky to get that much.
The wrestlers were all told they were getting paid for the tour since the deposit half was enough to cover flying them in and their guarantees for four nights, even though they were all flew straight back home the next day. They were not paid at the show, but were told checks would be sent out this week. We promise! XWF hasn't determined if they'll take legal action against Ring Entertainment of Dallas because it'd be a breach of contract and no future plans on the books. Josh Matthews, the young guy that Rina Mera has her eye on for the XWF. He is all in with the XWF, so much so that he showed up at a WWE developmental camp this week, along with the likes of April Hunter, Bobby Roode, Johnny Jeter, Jason Blaze, Rick Michaels, Daphne Unger, April Hunter, Brent Albright, Andy Anderson, Horseshoe.
Wow.
Remember her?
Mitch, remember her?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
Mitch Paradise.
Do I remember her?
Remember? Hey. Mitch Paradise.
Nice name.
He's a Minnesota indie guy, Brock Lesnar's regular sparring partner. Once a little run out. And okay. It says, and to quote the Observer, a guy named Sylvan, a French-Canadian who has never wrestled, but has trained the past few months under Rocky Johnson and Pat Patterson. There were...
fucking...
just reading what it says. There are also people like Short O'Hare, Leviathan, and Mark Jindrak, who are under contract being evaluated at the training show as well. Booker T's wife got injured this week. This is good, the Observer. She was in OVW doing her training, and she suffered a complete ACL tear. What is it with these ACLs and the wrestlers, am I right?
What is it with these ACL tears?
What is it? What's the deal with ACL?
Yeah.
What's that mean? A clear ligament? She's going to get surgery under Dr. James Andrews, and she's going to be back out of action in about 6 months. They won't really pursue her as a wrestler. She'll have other irons in the fire, which is just as well. Meanwhile, her husband, Booker T, has opened up a store in his hometown of Houston called Jam Zone. They sell hip-hop stuff. I'm really sad they didn't sell jam. Come by my jam. Shucky ducky jam jam. I'd definitely buy jam off Booker T.
Yeah, we'll buy a stereo system from him.
I'd buy some jam from Booker T. Some strawberry jam, please, Booker. Ask Booker T this week on Twitter if he has any jam. DDP went to see the spinal specialist, Dr. James Andrews, after he was finished with Sharmell's ACL. He suggested that Diamond Dallas Page retire from professional wrestling. This is what we talked about the other week with the suplex. Page's own doctor, Dr. Chris Edwards of Atlanta, said his spinal cord is in such bad shape it could snap with a bad bump and it was going to leave him paraplegic. He's going to see Dr. Lloyd Youngblood in 2 weeks for a third opinion.
I love this period of wrestling where people just go, oh, I don't like that diagnosis. I'll go see another doctor.
And just keep seeing doctors until they say, yes, you are fine to wrestle.
I love that it's actually getting worse. Mm. In the first opinion, you should probably retire. Second, you could be paralyzed. Youngblood's got time, you're going to die.
Yeah. And then the fourth doctor's going to go, you're already dead.
Yeah. I don't know how you walked into my office.
And then the fifth doctor will go, have you considered yoga?
Yay.
And the rest is l'histoire. Lita underwent neck surgery with Dr. Lloyd Youngblood on Tuesday.
Jesus Christ, he's pulling in a shift this week.
He really fucking is. Looks like she's going to be out for 9 months. She fractured her neck in 3 places during filming for the TV show Dark Angel.
That's right.
Stunt woman dropped her right on her head. Ow, awful way to go. She's quite uncomfortable to watch bump in general. We've talked about this before. Like, she's got very unusual crumpled physics compared to other wrestlers. Yes. Watching her bump in general is a bit nerve-wracking, I find. But she will be fine. Anyway, there's a few other bits and pieces, but we'll talk about them as we go through. Let's throw over to Matthew Gregg, who's going to talk us through this week's episode. McDonald.
That's right, Tom. Thank you. We are in Peoria?
Peoria,
Illinois. At the Civic Center in front of 8,350. It's a good number. In a dark match, Kim Nielsen defeated Dawn Marie. I don't know who that is. For jacked TV tapings, Chavo Guerrero Jr. defeated the Hurricane. Lance Storm fought Hugh Morris to a no contest. That's not funny. And WF Women's Champion Jazz defeated Ivory. And then Farouk and Val Venus... He did the Godfather and Test.
Damn, Porn Stars is their name, if I remember correctly. Like Are Real Monsters. Damn, Porn Stars.
Oh, I like that, yes. Damn, Porn Stars.
Or Damn, Porn Stars, like Damn Yankees.
Yes. That's good, I like that.
You can choose. Good.
Michael Cole says, the backlash from Backlash continues. Yeah, thanks. And here's poorly dubbed Air Fried Cupboard. The new World Heavyweight WWF Champion, not for long, Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Cole says Hulkamania has never gone out of style, which, not to sound like Finn Martin, is not true, but the winners write the books. Let's ask Patterson and Briscoe, or Big Show that one time in 2000.
Or let's ask those two guys that played the Nacho Man and the Hookster.
Oh, yes.
On the pre-show of WrestleMania 12.
You can't, because they're dead.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
However... Hogan isn't able to say anything for the first few minutes because of the volume of the Hogan chants. So who cares about 2 years ago or 10 years ago? Crazy long reaction with Hogan looking touched. Hogan says, yeah, Undertaker interfered, which caused some doubt if he could have won, but then changes mind and says, yeah, I would have. They're kind of like, hell yeah, you would have. But Hogan is fair and says he wants to give Triple H the rematch he promised him to erase any doubt. Hogan starts to put over Triple H, but the man himself shows up because if anyone's going to put over Triple H, it's Triple H.
I'm sorry, you said promise to erase any doubt, but you said it so quickly. It sounded like you said he promised him a race.
That's it.
Ready, brother? Go! I'm going to race you to that... race you to that bin, brother.
If you do, you win the title.
Promised him a race. I could beat you in a race.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the WWF World Heavyweight title has only changed hands once in a race. Ever.
Who won?
Dex Michael Cole.
It's Bundy.
Billy Graham beat King Kong Bundy. It's only because there was a steroid on a string. Yeah, got that one out. Triple H takes longer than Hogan to get to the ring. Oof, I'll put it here. Triple H takes exception to Hogan thinking there was doubt. But he has Triple H respect, which is why he shook his hand and says, aye, thanks for the offer of a rematch. Cheers, Pep. Triple H wants to know if Hogan will be man enough to shake Triple H's hand when he gets his title back. Ooh, because Triple H shook his hand there. He's like, oh, what do you do when I beat you? Crowd doesn't like that, so they drown Triple H out with Hogan chants. But to interrupt them, it's villain. Ooh, who's the villain this week, Tom?
So we've been asking you to email classic@cultaholic.com with suggestions on who we can replace the former executive chairman of the board with when we do these recaps of the Classic SmackDown review. And thank you to James Olney from Michigan, ooh, who this week has suggested Skeletor.
Ah.
Ha ha! He-Man, you little fuck!
So Triple H
famous
and Hogan.
Quote from Skeletor.
That's right, yeah, I've got that on a t-shirt at home. Triple H and Hogan are talking and being all merry, but here's
Skeletor! Hey! Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about, you little bitches?
Have you watched any Masters of the Universe?
Loads, mate.
To say, last time I checked, yeah, Triple H and Hogan weren't the bosses of the UF. I am! Last time we checked, that wasn't true. Funny note from 2024. Well, wasn't that funny? So Skeletor asks the crowd if they want it. They go, yeah. He's unsure, so I'll ask again. Yeah.
Just the one guy?
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah. But Skeletor says, I'm unsure. We've got to clean up the criminal element. Yes, we do, Vince. Skeletor.
I loved Skeletor going,
of course.
Need to clean out the criminals in wrestling. Yeah. And how you say that without like and getting a nosebleed or your eye twitching is incredible.
And said, Triple H was arrested for assaulting The Undertaker on Raw. And he never gave Jericho a rematch after WrestleMania. So that's tonight. Hang on, yeah, he did. What about that match with Steph? maybe let's not talk about that. Vince makes... So Skeletor makes a match for next week. For the winner of wrestling's living legend, Jericho versus Triple H. Wait, Skeletor said it. That's not his name. It's Larry Zbysko. He rightfully took it from Bruno. He stole it first. Skeletor ends a segment by flexing his traps, which is, of course, the pit of spikes.
And
wait till you see my traps.
They're not that impressive.
Yeah, every time.
He also does the Triple H spit. He does the Hogan pose, and he does the Triple H spit.
I was too busy thinking of 2024 jokes.
Whilst Hogan and Trips look very perturbed in the ring.
They do look perturbed. That was the word I was about to use, Tom. I love using that word. I thought this segment was wonderful and justified the decision to put the belt on Hogan because striking while the iron is hot.
And I think Triple H looks strong despite losing the title. I think the fact that he's still very much in the mix for it makes him look great. I think the Hogan reaction is phenomenal. There was some scuttlebutt in the Observer that the crowd chants were piped in, and they're certainly not. They're very loud
for
Hogan.
No.
Whether you like the guy or not, in 02, at this point in 02, people were fucking ready to cheer the shit out of Hogan. And they did, and it forced WWF's arm. you know, like they do sometimes. But yeah, so tonight, main event is Trips and Jericho. Winner faces Hogan next week on SmackDown.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Greyhounds driving Greyhounds present Tajiri versus Kidman from Backlash, ending with Tajiri winning with The Mist. As JR yells, "Where did that come from?" His mouth, JR.
His mouth.
I guess this replay was for him. Backstage, Rico tells Billy off for not rubbing the Billy correctly.
It's a certain way you got to do it.
If that wasn't subtle enough, Tajiri arrives and they go, "Hey, Tajiri, all right." And Tori says hello and like, "Oh, hey," and sound miserable because she's a woman.
Did you get it? That's the joke.
Billy does a very offensive impression of a Japanese person.
It's Chuck, isn't it?
And I was like, no. And then Chuck does an even more offensive impression of a wrestler, which lasts several years. There you go. Rico insults Tori's outfit, saying it needs a Billy and Chuck headband. Tajiri makes Tori kiss him. Oh, those evil Japanese and the evil gays.
Teaming together.
Yes.
And Tori caught in the middle of all this. Tajiri then puts the bandana around his head.
That's what you do with a bandana.
Vince, I think
it's a headband, isn't it? It's not a bandana.
It is a headband. That's not a bandana. Sorry, yes, you're right. It is a headband.
How dare you get this wrong?
How dare this segment
involving evil gays.
Evil gays and racism.
And evil Japanese playing stereotypes of the 1800s. Come on, don't ruin this.
Sorry, I apologize. I've dragged the tone down, clearly.
So Alistair and Maven are here for a six-man match against the evil Japanese gays.
They're teaming with Kidman, lest we forget.
Yeah, but whatever.
What did you say? It was a
not
six...
gay or evil, is he?
No, I wanted to chuck that in because you said Alistair and Maven.
You know why? Because I put evil Japanese gays. Why is Yukio Mishima here? And I put that joke was for Long Live Lenin and him only. And that's it. So I've neglected it to include that Billy Kidman was in this match. That was pathetic.
You got the important bit across.
Yeah, I spent it cooling. Who was that crazy? Oh, there he is. Chuck overheads Billy Kidman, who is in this match, to start as Rico shushes the ringside fans. Famous shot on Maven early, sets up Tajiri, but he gets annoyed at Rico being gay and also evil to Tori, so he runs outside. Spot didn't look great as Tajiri had to go, huh? And spin his head round like an owl to spot it, because he was off his fucking mark. Then everyone comes in for spots, including Tajiri kicking Kidman off the apron. Maven and Al pants the gays. This causes the gays to run wild, so Tori pantses Rico and he bounces away. So Kidman busts out that you can't powerbomb Kidman on Tajiri and ends with the shooting star press. Odd, thinly veiled closet match that the crowd loved.
Kidman pinning the champ clean just after losing the title. It's very WWF of the period,
yes,
isn't it?
Is.
They're ones for equal win-loss booking and all that weirdness.
Equal rights, even for
equal
losers.
Equal rights, even for losers. And losers with their trousers down. They all got pantsed.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm trying to think how that works. Oh, you're a homosexual. Let me take your clothes off.
That's
why do you want to see my naked body? Because you're gay.
That's pretty much how it works.
Why do you... What? No, because you're gay.
You're gay, bro. Shut up.
Wait, hang on. Can we just pause this for a second? Is this what you're trying to tell us?
That Maven and Al... Well, they might be, because Maven and Al then put Billy and Chuck's pants on. And started going, oh, look at us. We're Billy and Chuck. Right at the end.
And then they start making out.
We're not even gay.
They hold hands to the back.
Just shagging.
No cameras
shagging
are on.
Shagging backstage. We're not even gay. Joke's on you. Get married and spend 40 blissful years together. We're not even gay. Joke's on you.
It's Al's just railing Maven going, I knew you were tough enough. Set the tone by putting Maven's theme on.
But it's the dubbed version.
He puts that on the last longer. Oh, I hate this fucking song.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kurt Angle sees a middle-aged fat guy backstage and mocks him. And then the casting call for this must have been middle-aged fat guy.
I'd have applied.
Kurt, stop it. Kurt's got a new shirt that's going to have all his accomplishments on the back. So, of course, it'll have to be a triple XL because there's so many, which is perfect for this man, the middle-aged fat guy. So Kurt will get it for him, even for half price. Kurt wants everything. A lovely bit of Kurt. Ooh, I love a lovely bit of Kurt, I put here. Because it was just Kurt, like, segueing into his new shirt whilst just abusing this poor dude.
It's classic Kurt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bit of Kurt-flavoured news for this week. The WWF have given Kurt Angle their blessing to take some time off. And they will even sponsor him and pay his downside if he wants to do the Olympics in 2004. Oh. Angle says that he had an impromptu challenge a couple of months back in the dressing room with Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
And it's really got his fire lit again to get involved. But he says he'll base his decision on how he physically feels a little closer to the time. If he's not 100%, he's not going to do it. But if he feels like he can do it, then he will do it. Also this week, Vince McMahon pulled a PSA that featured Kurt Angle from WWF programming. It aired on Raw, but it won't air on SmackDown. So Kurt Angle did a PSA about angina. Because he and his family have a hereditary history of angina or heart problems. He actually failed a heart test in 1998 when he was signing with the WWF. And this was because his heart was beating too slowly. His heart was beating like a marathon runner. It was beating too slowly. And nobody really flagged it in WWF. They went, oh, that's good. Then it means he's in good condition. So, no, it's angina. That should probably be looked into. Or as he weirdly calls it, So I watched this commercial that he's done for it. And throughout the commercial, he calls it angina.
Is that they pulled it?
Angina. Like,
are they trying to make it so because it doesn't sound like vagina? Like, oh, the angina.
Maybe. But it might be what it is. But it's definitely angina, isn't it?
Does it say why it was pulled?
Vince McMahon says, believe it or not, this is from The Observer. Believe it or not, McMahon did not like the idea of a heel being portrayed in that kind of manner within the time frame of the show that he appears on. So basically, because Kurt Angle's being a geeky heel, Vince says, it sends the wrong message if he's a geeky heel. And he goes, seriously though, angina is a terrible thing.
You know what? I'm with Skeletor on that.
Yeah. Skeletal, sorry, not Vincent.
You suck, I hate all of you. This dude's fat and old. By the way, check for angina.
Yeah, that's it. It's a mixed message. Angle's the right guy to do it because, as we say, 14 different family members in the Angle family have suffered from either angina or angina or heart problems. So there's a lot of history.
Who would you have had do the advert instead?
Big Show.
angina.
While sat in a Dennis.
They're in a dead heat between diabetes. So he's going to take me off first. Ah, my heart.
This is your brain. This is your brain on angina.
I'll eat that egg. Yeah.
Lovely egg.
Dum, dum, dum. Listen up. This is young, hip, 45-year-old.
Oh.
lover of policemen and weed.
I will support our troops as long as you support my heart.
I support the troops' battle against the war in angina. Where Saddam is rumored to be hiding out in. What do you mean that's not what angina is? Oh, no.
Hello, it's me, Kane, from the wrestling that time. And I also have Angela. And I'd like to tell you all about it. Kane could do it, too.
I suffer from angina. Would you... Happened about round about the time I killed my parents.
It's true.
Cheers, Dad. Come on now, let's get away from these comedically evil characters we have in wrestling.
Yes, Jesus.
Anyway, so. Backstage, Stacy is rubbing Skeletor's head.
his skull.
Yeah. Not a head.
Not very nice, Stacy.
The skull of Skeletor is too hard to say. Rather like Angle saying Angina. So they're hitting out my head. So
knock, Vince McMahon writes
a knock on the door.
Vince McMahon writes a segment that starts with Stacy Keibler rubbing his head.
Skeletor head, yes.
Sorry, yes.
And of all people, not come in. Is it Beast Man? No, it's Randy Orton.
Randall!
Of all people, looking all of 15 years old.
And really humble and awkward, like, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, so ready from your head massage. As Skeletor expositions who Cowboy Bob was. I thought that was nice. Randy introduces himself as Randy Orton. Stacy says, you certainly are Randy Orton. And I put, no, you big dumb idiot. You're supposed to say, you certainly are Randy. Jesus Christ, how do you fuck that double entendre up? Have you never seen a James Bond film? Hi, I'm Randy Orton. You certainly are Randy Orton. Unbelievable.
Surely it would also be, so am I. You're Randy, so am I.
Oh, you're horny Orton's brother. There's so many she fucked that up and they left it in. You certainly are Randy Orton. On a fucking pre-tape show. Hi, I'm humorous. You certainly are Hugh Morris. I couldn't fucking get over that.
Where's Dennis Norton when we fucking need him? You see, the joke is...
And Stacy must realise that she fucked it up because she ad-libs and says, Randy has big hands, so he must have a big something else.
Handy Randy.
And I said, just ask to shake his head and you'll see.
What?
I thought that would sound better. Oof, I wrote this like 2 weeks ago. Stacy, who apparently is perma-horny for everything right now, asks Randy to put his hands on her hips. Skeletor just leaves the room for some reason and shows up, so she makes up the fact that Randy Orton did stuff to her. This was a grim segment. Hmm. Ah, those women always lying about sex pests. Am I right? But Randy's first segment certainly was Randy Orton's first segment.
It really was Randy Orton.
No.
So after Stacy made him take his top off and practice a wrestling hold on her, Vince walks in and punishment for daring to you know talk to a woman that isn't him. Skeletor books him in a punishment match against Hardcore Holly. So we are now acknowledging on television that Holly is fucking dangerous. I love that.
He killed DDP.
Oh, you had a tryout match. I tell you what, here's a guy that is known just to beat the fuck out of people for a laugh. It's Hardcore Holly. Here you go.
It's a good usage of him.
It's a great usage of him. I like Hardcore Holly just being the punishment match for people.
Yeah, they're both second-gen wrestlers.
Yeah.
Buddy Holly.
Welcome in Randall Keith. We will talk a bit about Randall Keith a bit later on. I got some notes.
Yeah, I think we might. His name might come up a few times.
It does come up once or twice.
Randy Orton, maybe he does some stuff.
I found humble and nervous Randy Orton to be quite refreshing from the Randy Orton that we know these days, who is just like epitome of cool, just like, whatever.
Okay. Oh, it's me, Randy.
And
Orton.
It's just Randy coming in and going, oh, hello, sorry, Vince.
Just a lad at his first job, not knowing what to do.
I feel like he took a shit in someone's bag because he was too polite to ask where the toilet was rather than just doing it for bands.
God damn it. Oh,
sorry,
Tom.
I did shit in your bag.
I'm sorry, I was just nervous.
Sorry, I did a nervous poo in your bag.
Backstage, Christian is taking test role of bet taker for Mark Henry. Christian says, I bet Mark can't bend a pan. Farouk says Mark doesn't have to do what they tell him, but Mark is like, I can do it. It's fine. Test mocks him and advises he put his belt on. His pan bending belt. Is he Batman?
Have you not got a pan bending belt?
Well, I mean, I don't. I mean, everyone else has got one. I want one now.
Well, I thought we all had pan bending belts.
I give it a peer pressure.
Yeah, I got three.
Yeah. Mark puts a towel over it and bends a frying pan in half. And I thought this was like when you're about to euthanize an animal. So you're like... You make it comfortable first.
Whiskey, my little angel.
I'm sorry, Skillet.
Now we'll never do a WWE soundtrack.
That was the noise of a pan dying. Oh, Skillet will. Tass, Christ, Matthew. Tess asks Mark to bend a steel rod now. Is Mark Henry just Bender from Futurama at this point?
That's his new gimmick.
Hey, bend this. All right.
Maybe he kicks and I start bending.
Mark does it. He does not put a towel over it, so clearly he hates pipes.
I felt very uncomfortable watching a pipe being bent in real time.
Al Snow and Maven stop making out to go, and it's a bit unsubtle, lad. Crowd doesn't sound that excited because it's not very exciting. It's not happening in the ring. And there's only so much you can do with bending household objects like a pan and a rod. Christian hits Mark Henry with a pan, and that ends it. I mean,
was it the bent pan? I can't remember.
No.
Or was it a fresh pan?
It was a fresh pan. No, the idea of Christian using the mangled, deformed pan on Mark Henry and it having no effect because it's now been reduced to nothing is funny.
Its power is -5.
But it hit him with a proper... Yeah, right, but hit him with a proper one does hurt him. There's a kind of logic there. Which is more than I said the rest of the segment. Again, they keep on doing this stuff, but it's... You need to have the visuals, which they're doing with a pan. All right, cool. And a rod, which happens to be there. But not doing it in the ring. So the crowd could see it and cheer. It's just a video, like, wow, he's bending stuff. So if they were going to fake it, that would be the place to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it is fake. It probably is real, but...
Is that why you put a cloth over it? Just because it was so too real for TV?
Yeah.
Sure, just don't want anyone
too violent.
The cast of characters backstage here was, as well as Mark Henry and Farouk, we had Matt Hardy, Christian, Test, Lance Storm, Val Venus, Hugh Morris, The Godfather, and Chavo Guerrero, and The Hurricane. So this is kind of the mid-card of SmackDown now. If you don't have anything to do on this particular night, just go and watch Mark Henry bend shit.
And any of these people could be main eventing Insurrection 2002.
How sweet would that have been in the next SmackDown game? I think the next one coming up is SmackDown Shut Your Mouth.
Yeah.
How sweet would that have been in the backstage area where there's like a little gathering in the locker room and you can go and watch Mark Henry bend shit?
Quick, Mark. Build your stats by bending a pan.
Earn money, earn SmackDown dollars by just betting on Mark Henry whether he can bend things.
Kids playing at point of screen going, that happened on TV.
Yeah. Are you listening, 2K Games? Fucking get that in there.
Yeah. Unrelated, though. Scorpion King is big business.
That's Mercedes Moné, man.
Three show press clips saying this, so it doesn't sound like they're making shit up as usual. but it really was. So, wow, good for them.
This, yeah, brilliant, but it's like, that's the end of The Rock now. Like, this is such big business.
Yep.
The Rock is now going to leave forever. He has said in interviews this week that he might be back in a month or two. But it was really like sort of laissez-faire whether or not he is or not. He doesn't need it anymore. He might pop back.
Yeah.
Out of, also, at this point, they still own the name The Rock. So I guess there is a requirement for him to still dip in. Because Dwayne Johnson ain't over yet, but The Rock is.
Yeah.
You know, too.
But never mind that. Here's Randy Orton to take on Hardcore Holly. A week after Hardcore was in DDP's last televised match, here he is with Randy's first TV one, The Circle of Life. Holly has purple gear, which is nowhere near as ugly as Randy's dark blue and yellow highlights. Randy is all young and quick offense, flying bulldogs and getting beat up. Hard chops from Holly as Taz yells about paying dues. Randy gets a lucky stun gun on the ropes and they lovely drop kick, but you can't drop kick Holly. Holly sets up a superplex, but Randy comes back with a flying crossbody, which Holly holds on to because he's Hardcore Holly. And then Randy wins an Oklahoma side roll to a mild pop. Nothing here that would indicate what we got in the future and are still going to be getting. But hey, the young lad beat Hardcore Holly.
Oklahoma roll out of nowhere.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The commentary as the match starts, Michael Cole says, good luck, kid. Don't give up your day job. I like lines like that, knowing people go on to do great things. Yeah. His day job was the Army, according to Wiki.
It was the Marine Corps, right? But then he was dishonorably discharged.
He was dishonorably discharged in 1999. He went AWOL on two occasions. He was probably hiding, waiting to hit an RKO. Under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, he was tried and convicted under a special court-martial and spent 38 days in the brig at Camp Pendleton.
Yeah.
He had a Marine tattoo previously, but covered it up because of his bad conduct discharge. He debuted in the wrestling world in 2000 at Mid-Missouri Wrestling Association in Southern Illinois and the Southern Illinois Conference Wrestling, as it's abbreviated, in St. Louis, Missouri, which is an offshoot of the St. Louis Wrestling Club that was put together by Sam Muchnick. Now, he was trained by the staff of the promotion, and of course his dad, Bob Orton Jr., had a hand in it as well. And he would be signed to WWF in 2000 under a developmental deal, spent some time in OVW. He was an OVW hardcore champion twice. And he is now on the main roster. They see lots of promise in Randy Orton. See him very much as a guy to build as a future possible main eventer. And it's funny when you see these in hindsight, because we balk at the idea when they say, oh, WWE think that Von Wagner is going to headline WrestleMania. We balk at that idea. But I imagine after seeing that first promo, this first match, and then reading, oh, future WrestleMania main eventer, we probably balked at it too. To be fair, we thought he looks quite good. I remember thinking he was quite boring. That was my initial thought of him. I mean, he was quite
boring. There's nothing really to him.
Yeah. But the reports were going, yeah, they think this is the boy. And they won't be far wrong.
Yeah.
The Observer describes Orton's debut as, quote, very reminiscent of Rocky Maivia, but without the unique look.
Yeah, it's a nice comparison. It's a
good comparison.
Both second gen lads, or third gen, I guess, on that piece.
Third gen.
But when you're saying about them being Tommy discharged, it's funny because I remember that was like, wait, babe, this military tribute day, whatever they have in America, which seems like every 3 months or much more. They would show a picture of Randy Orton, and there was a bit of a feedback from some people going,
Yeah.
All right, okay.
You can't do it because of what happened. Mm.
Anyway, Kurt Angle is hyping his shirt backstage. He tells a bunch of people, look, go get one. Get the national press. I want Time Magazine, TNN. Kurt wants people in Zimbabwe to be wearing this new shirt. All the while, Edge is in the background doing his Muttley, I did something face. Only Angle could pull off whatever is coming up. As he strides the ring, ignoring the crowd's chants, and points out he loves the fans no matter where they're from. Even a town like Peoria, which sounds like a urinary infection. Which, in fairness, everyone should check that you've got that.
So also, Angle can say Peoria, but he can't say angina.
That's it. And even though they're morbidly obese, it's okay, because it's their advantage for once. Because here we go. It's new shirt time. As Taz points out, Kurt Angle is an Olympic-level shirt designer. Why is this shirt XL only? Why, it has to be that big to list everything. And I asked Tom, can you name all of Kurt's accomplishments up to this point?
NCAA champion a few times.
Yep.
1996 Olympic gold medal winner.
Yep.
WWF European champion. Yep. WWF Intercontinental champion. Mm-hmm. WWF Hardcore champion. WWF champion once, twice. Yep. WCW champion once. WCW United States champion. I don't think he's been a tag team champion yet. I'm missing one. European, IC, US, World, Hardcore, WWF. I'm missing that one.
Countdown.
He won medals from Benoit. Go on.
King of the Ring.
Oh, fuck a diddle day.
But yeah, this just show how King much he's accomplished in a very short space of
done
time.
Done a lot, bless his socks.
Yeah.
Busy boy.
So Edge shows up and Kurt wonders why he's here. Because he beat him at Backlash. Edge admits that Kurt was the better man and he wants to congratulate Kurt. Kurt asks if Edge is serious and Kurt admits, well, yeah, it was a great match. And Kurt is more than happy to have Edge come around and shake his hand and, oh, that's nice. There's a big... what do you call it? Display? Yeah. In the ring.
Presentation.
Yes. There's lots of photographers. He's got a big curtain. He's about to unveil it. So, and he goes, all right, Edge, that's very nice of you to show that you respect me. Cool. I'm glad you're here to see this new shirt I'm about to unveil. As Edge does everything but yell, here comes a joke. Kurt reveals his shirt and it's a shirt that says, you suck. With Kurt even doing the thing where he says, isn't that just me? He's not looking at it. He's looking at the photographers. Doesn't that just sum up Kurt in one lovely shirt? Because he's so overconfident. Crowd loves it as Kurt yells at photographers to stop taking photos as he turns around and realizes, oh no! Edge says, yes, that's you, all right, Kurt, and asks the music guy to play Kurt's theme. Kurt is a comedy machine.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
The one-man sitcom. The angina monologues, they call him.
Oh, fucking... play the outro. We're done. That's the one. That's the gag for the show. And Angle is absolutely to a big part of what is happening with Edge. The Observer says there is internal emphasis, even more so, that the guy to make now, i.e. to lift and make the next main eventer, is Edge. His performance against Angle, a backlash, was something that really pushed that over the edge. And it was contrasted with Rob Van Dam's performance against Eddie Guerrero, which seemed to put him higher up the pecking order than Rob Van Dam currently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no disrespect to Guerrero and Van Dam. They had a very good match, but Edge and Angle was absolutely outstanding. And it's Angle, who is an incredible wrestler. Edge can keep up, and Edge can learn quick. No reason why you wouldn't want to make this guy the guy. No reason at all. And we will get there.
Yeah. Good idea. We get a video recap of Undertaker attacking Triple H and then taking credit for giving the title to Hogan so he can wrestle him at Judgment Day. Aha.
Oh, he beats the piss out of Undertaker.
So Triple H shows up on Raw, wear the double denim, to make Undertaker bleed for costing him the title. And yeah, he should be mad. Undertaker, by the way, is shown topless, which he didn't appear like this very often. Mm. He does not look good topless. He looks more like the late Fred Elliott. Triple H tries to use a sledgehammer on Undertaker backstage. So then the cops arrive, and Triple H thinks for a few seconds about attacking the police. Right in front of Undertaker? Have you no shame?
Undertaker loves the police. He supports the troops and the
cops. He buys all
cops.
The weed from them directly.
Yeah. Support our forces.
So it's a nice video package. And again, it gives us, all right, Triple H, something to do that isn't Hogan, because what else is he going to do now? He always go back to that, I guess, if they need to.
When was the last time that you saw Undertaker get this much of a fucking kick in? Because you've got to...
Oh, WrestleMania X7, the last time you wrestled Triple H. God, yeah.
Because then before that, you've got to be looking at like when fucking the entire mid-card roster and my best friend Jeff Jarrett fucking buried him in the 90s. Like, it's very rare that he, even compared to Mania X7, Undertaker gets a fucking shoe-in. It looks like fucking, like he was the maven to Triple H's Undertaker at the Royal Rumble here. It was different. Seeing Taker on the back foot like that.
Yeah. Looking like crap.
Looking like shite.
Clarice Hill's spot of the week is Mark Henry lifting a car. I'm not sure how Clarice Hill helps that. But anyway, the beat kicks and I start rocking.
Yeah, it's here!
Which is Mark Henry's theme that samples DJ Chuck Chillout's Rhythm is the Master.
Mm-hmm.
He's never Wikipedia. That song is on Wikipedia page, but I've heard that sample so many times. You think it deserves it, right? But
it sounds. It also.
Then I start rocking.
You'll appreciate this. Do you not think it also sounds like it could be the music from a Bad Future level on Sonic CD?
Okay, yeah, with the samples and everything. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Thank you,
Mark Henry CD. Mark Henry versus Christian. They're beefing over pans, which makes sense because you put beef in a pan. Mark Henry throws Christian over the top, as I wonder how amazing both these guys would get like 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Christian gets thrown back in and bodied. Mark effortlessly twists Christian into a bear hug before squeezing him and winning easily. I would have hated a bear hug finish as a kid because Nash did it to The Rock. But Mark is big and bad, so it's okay.
Yeah, it was a fine match. It was just putting over Mark Henry. And it does show you where the energy lies with the former tag team greats, Edge and Christian. Whereas Edge is in there, like, getting one up on former world champion. And Christian, after humiliating Mark Henry backstage, is just getting rinsed.
Yeah.
Very much rinsed. We know where the power lies in this particular tag team split.
Yes, we do. Chris Jericho is here with his larger-than-life shirt. Jericho moans a bit and says, oh, Triple H finally gives me a match after I lost the title. Huh, how about that? Jericho has his hair tied back and it sucks.
He had a high fever at WrestleMania, he reveals here. That doesn't explain why the match went on last, but it does explain probably why it wasn't as great as it could have been, because he was a bit poorly.
That's right. Well, I got sick of watching it. The Rock is on David Letterman tomorrow. Oh, that's nice. Blockbuster, Taco Bell and Clarice Hill present this match, which is Edge and Rikishi taking on Kurt Angle and Albert. Excuse me, put here. Edge does his delayed butterfly suplex for two. Okay, that's nice. I put Edge. No, Albert does that, sorry. That's nice, but Albert looks horrible. Edge lands his modified facebuster thing on Kurt, which seems to discombobulate both men. Hot tag to Rikishi, who slams Albert. Meet. The ass meets Kurt and Albert. Rikishi does the earthquake stomp for two, which is nice.
Mm.
Rikishi can't land the ass on Albert because Angle keeps saving him. So then Albert lands the pump kick and derailer to win. Yeah, Albert is competent, but again, he looks like shit. Nice match, though. Edge chases everyone away with a chair because he's still crazy, I guess.
Can I be an arsehole?
Go on.
Thank you. That wasn't the derailer.
Oh, what's it? It's Baldo Bomb.
Baldo Bomb. The derailer is the one. You're right.
No, just said I'll...
The derailer is the one where he puts him on his shoulder and then drops to his knees.
Oh, that's the derailer?
That's the derailer.
Oh, shit.
That's the Baldo Bomb.
I've been calling that the derailer for ages. Is it really the Baldo? Oh.
That's the Baldo Bomb.
I was doing that when he was Albert.
Yeah. What was that? Baron Corbin did an interview this week for the bump where he talked about like the help he's had backstage at NXT. And it was so very sweet. He referred to Albert as Baldo.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think that is still his nickname backstage at NXT. They call him Baldo. You know, the amount of nicknames you could have for him. Albert, yeah. Bernard, Baldo, A-Train.
Prince.
Matt, Bloomy, Bloomingdale's.
Bloomy?
Bloomy. His name's Matt Bloom. Bloomy.
Maybe later.
Oi, Bloomy. Hey, wait till Wembley. you got to beat your PB from last year. I'll be there this year to help you. It's fine.
You get me a pillow for my knees. But yeah, any of your thoughts on this match when I'm not sucking the dog?
It was fine. It was a bit more, you know, they all four worked really well together and it was a nice pace to it.
Yeah.
I guess we're getting a Rikishi Albert singles match at some point.
Oh, hell yeah. Insurrection, watch out.
Does it happen?
Get ready for your semi-main.
Does it happen at Insurrection?
I don't care.
I don't think it does.
Anyway. I only meant to think that, sorry.
That's okay. He said the loud bit quiet.
Anyway, Reverend Devon heads through the crowd with his collection plate, wearing white shoes and black trousers. Ooh. Until a sinner steals Devon's money. But the sinner can't make it over the guardrail, so Devon beats him up. He gets put through half a table as Taz yells, "He got the table." The dude looks like Rodney of the Mean Street Posse. Yeah, have you put that as well?
Guy who looks like Rodney robs his money and gets the piss beaten out of him.
More like Robney. Devon tells him not to steal. Wait, was this supposed to get Devon over as a heel? We're okay with you attacking thieves.
Yeah, it's good. Vince said you wanted to get rid of crime. And that's good. Well, unless because the money is being used for ill-gotten things. It's okay, so for a thief, they're bad. Yeah, if steal from...
All right, well, I'm glad I torrented all those fucking pay-per-views then.
Steal from a criminal. It's not Rodney, though, but do you know the guy who stole the cash?
Oh, do you know who it is?
I do. That is Midwest indie wrestler Danny Dominion. He wrestled for the WWA. He teamed with Nathan Jones for a little bit. And he had some table matches against Crowbar in World Wrestling All-Stars.
The
invasion begins! A few days after this episode of SmackDown, he would beat Evan Courageous for the AWA title, not that one, in Arizona.
What the fuck, what?
Later in 02, he would win the NWA Midwest title of CM Punk. Danny Dominion!
I have no idea who it is.
Fucking time splitter Daniel Dominion beating the good uns. Go on, lad.
What do you mean he beat the AWA title, but not that one?
It's a different company called AWA.
That's disgusting. He can't do that.
I told him, Evan
Courageous. The Wildlife Fund for Nature should sue them.
AWA clothing and baked goods. Hey.
Kurt talks to the tubby guy from before, but he's annoyed because the tubby guy's wearing a triple XL You Suck shirt. Kurt got him one, right?
Yeah.
He's like, what? You wanted this? So Kurt's like, no, I'm going to kill Edge. Please, Edge. Please, Edge, stop selling shirts and that on. Causing me to get residual checks. Stop it. No. Don't go to WFShot.com and buy them. No, Edge. Check for angina. No. You look great. No.
Whatever you do, don't buy it, please.
Thank you, middle-aged fat guy. No. So great. Kurt Angle, already the MVP, and it's already April.
So good.
Anyway, here's the main event of Jericho versus Triple H. Oh, no, wait, I've got the fever. Jericho treats Triple H like he's Michael Myers, which isn't far enough by comparison to the amount of killing he's done. Oh, that's a fucking rotten punch. Don't say that, Matthew. Crowd sounds like they're waiting for the punchline or Hogan, whichever comes first. Triple H lands a divorce court, which makes sense given the storyline, and I guess keeps people online guessing IRL 2024. But it's just because he's resting Jericho and he can work him over. So Triple H is insisting this go long and methodical. Jericho launches Triple H into the steps, as this is an okay affair so far, until Undertaker shows up backstage to bother Skeletor.
Well, Skeletor was literally, if he was a liquid, he'd have poured himself over Stacey Keibler at this point. Because like they were like on the sofa, and she's right at the end of the sofa, and he's like leaning all over going, let's watch the TV together. And it's just, it fucking stinks the fact that it's Skeletor that's fucking writing these segments going, and then I sit really close to you and I touch your leg. I go here and the shopping goes here. Like the fucking Barclay card advert from the 90s. It's fucking grim. It's a real cool. If anyone gets that, Jesus H. Christ, thank you. And then, as you say, Undertaker bursts in. He's not supposed to be here. He's interrupting the canoodling that Skeletor's doing with Stacey.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
I was canoodling with this woman.
The door was locked. Also, you're on Raw. We come back from break as there's visible fans on cam getting bored of this and doing dancing and drinking and stuff.
Gotta go the distance.
They're Hogan fans, naturally. Spinning wheel kick hits for two as no one believes Jericho's winning without shenanigans. Triple H spine busts Jericho as the crowd continue to be in second gear for this. Top drop kick for two. Nice bit with Triple H cutting off Jericho's bulldog attempt with the clothesline because he knows it's coming. Jericho jumps onto the ropes off a slingshot, but he runs right into a pedigree attempt, and Jericho converts that into a backslide. Okay, now it's good. Lion Salt misses, walls get locked in, but Triple H is so goddamn manly that he refuses to tap. Jericho gets a chair, but Triple H blocks it and turns it into a DDT before getting rid of the chair. Nice little bit, so the referee doesn't see it.
Yep.
Even the front row drunks are into this now. They just had zero interest in Triple H attempts to be Harley Race. Just you fuckers wait.
I get so much worse this year.
Jericho's bulldog gets turned into a knee to the face, but a pedigree is interrupted by The Undertaker, who pops up on the apron all sneakily, and Jericho wins with the roll-up. Hey, that would have been a much better finish if they hadn't shown Undertaker backstage minutes before.
Was it maybe just a way of keeping people engaged through a break? On TV.
That's a good point.
To the crowd. I mean,
the crowd are like, oh, this is sucking. Oh, Undertaker's here.
Well, the live crowd, I don't think they showed that bit to the live crowd.
Yeah, the crowd didn't sound like they were, like...
Because if they had, then Triple H would have seen it.
Yeah.
And he would have gone, oh, fucking
God. Undertaker's showing up.
Yeah, so I think that was more just to keep the TV audience enthused.
That's a good point. There's brand new episodes of Enterprise after this, so, you know, good keepman. Both lads beat up Triple H as the crowd demands the freshly varnished WF champion to appear. Hogan does eventually show up. It's a while, but he is old. And he takes apart Undertaker as I realise we have all of the fun of that feud to enjoy coming up next few weeks.
Oh, yes.
But that's the end of this week as Jericho poses,
Jericho poses because he is facing Hulk Hogan next week.
Ooh.
It's Nitro 96 all over again, except not because they would never have allowed that match to happen on Nitro 96. So that was SmackDown, the first SmackDown of the Hollywood Hulk Hogan administration. And what did you remember from this week?
I remember like Jericho beating Triple H.
Because it happened very often.
I remember thinking as a kid, he's not going to beat him. Fuck me, he did.
Fucking did.
Wow. To me, that was like Taka Michinoku pinning him on Raw that one time. Which is a bit sad for Jericho, but he sucks. Though. So it's okay. What about you, Tom?
I remember the Randy Orton debut, and I remember thinking, he's quite boring.
You remembered this?
Yeah, I remembered it because he was boring. And I remember being like, who's he? He's boring, he's rubbish. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Randy Orton. It's a rubbish name for a wrestler. Right. It's crappy, is. It's beat Ollie, aren't they? They're going to push him. That's going to be rubbish. Rubbish. What had you forgotten?
Well, I'd like to say, you certainly are Randy Orton. One of the worst lines I've ever heard in wrestling.
You certainly are, Randy Orton.
She missed a sitter. But I'm going to say Kurt Angle's amazing shirt odyssey.
Yeah, same. I completely forgot about the Angle t-shirt stuff.
Yeah.
But really enjoyed it. I think a few reports that I read about it and a bit of research into it, a few people at the time felt like it went long in the tooth. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good fun. Good, clean fun from two good, clean lads.
Kurt Angle, known for being clean.
He is at this point. He hasn't tasted a single Percocet yet, so he's fine. He's got all that to come. It's a whole era. That's a whole fucking era, that is. old Perk Angle, God love him. But at this point in time, two good lads who were just having great wrestling matches, and that will become the backbone of what they do. So I enjoyed that immensely. So that's SmackDown for this week. Anything you want to plug, Matthew Gregg? Thank you for putting me in the outro of Botchmania.
Yeah,
very kind. Thank you.
What can I say other than go home and smoke some
more
crack? No, I think I will just be... covering.
That's a big stretch.
Sorry,
Matthew,
I didn't see you did.
Like he's my cat.
I did a gay little noise as I stretched.
Lovely little
as
noise.
As I want to do, if you touch me right there. So I will be not doing a hell of a lot other than this lovely podcast with yourself and the lovely lads of Jack and Ross. Mm. Just be getting stuff together, catching up on the wrestling.
Nice.
Yeah, nothing. You hear that? Nothing. Oh, Twitch streaming Thursday and Sunday.
There you go. You're doing a Twitch stream.
Tom, what have you got for us?
I'm on BBC Radio Newcastle this weekend.
Are you indeed, you
Saturday,
bugger?
Saturday and Sunday morning. Come say hello. And BBC Radio Tees at the same time because of magic of the radio. On the this podcast feed, though, tomorrow we begin a four-part series called Roads to WrestleMania. It's myself, it's Fraser Porter, and Cultaholic.com's tribal editor-in-chief, Aidan Gibbons. And we have done a fucking deep, deep dive into the journey that took Cody Rhodes to WrestleMania. And we're not just talking about from the slap, the kickoff. We're not even talking about last year's WrestleMania. We're going all the way back to his first run in WWE. And we're going to go through the wilderness years, the Oliver Cromwell years, as Aidan calls it, that follow. We're going to talk about the beginning of AEW, his journey founding a new company, and his decision to fuck off and leave it.
What do you mean Oliver Cromwell years?
This is what it says at the top of Aiden's notes for episode two. We've at time of recording, we've not recorded it yet.
I don't get that.
Ask Aiden about it. You'll get it.
I'll have to watch it.
Oh, yes. Watch it on the Patreon or listen to it for free on the podcast feed. A brand new episode every week all the way up to WrestleMania. By hopefully, we'll have a very happy epilogue at the end of it. One can fucking hope this year, maybe. It's like the fucking World Cup for England, isn't it? So that is on the podcast feed tomorrow. I would love it if you check that out, if you've got time. The first episode is a fucking beefy boy. It's about 2 hours and 20. And I reckon each episode is probably going to be about that as well. We go real deep. So that is on the podcast feed and on the Patreon. And for the latest wrestling news throughout the weekend, you can check out cultaholic.com. At Matthew Gregg on Twitter.
I am.
I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we're at Cultaholic on Twitter. And we are Randy Orton. Love you. Bye.
We certainly are Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.